If you have a Bible, would you turn with me to John chapter 11? We want to glorify Him. We want to glorify Him with our lives, by the way that we live. And that's all part of living a life of praise. And we've talked about praise. We talked about praising the Lord with our mouths, our lives, our bodies, our all. It's our reasonable service, Romans 12 says. It's our spiritual act of worship. It's to just give yourself and be to the praise, the honor, and the glory of His name. And this week we've been trying to look at some of the things that are found in John 11 concerning Lazarus, and applying them to our own lives. And we've gotten to, a good place in the story of Lazarus. He was dead. Jesus came and woke him up from his sleep, from his death. And Jesus woke him up by speaking his name and calling him, because there's power and authority in the Word of God. And I don't know when it was for all of us that are here, but there was a place, a time, when you were dead in your sin and trespasses, and Jesus spoke your name, and He called you. He doesn't call the whole world at once. He calls one here and one there. And if you hear His voice, why, there's life that follows, resurrection life. And Jesus spoke Lazarus by name, called him, and Lazarus rose up. We noted yesterday that there's an element of faith that has to be all part of this equation. He calls our name, but we need to respond to Him by faith. I believe, Lord. I believe who You are. And faith in God, putting our trust in Him, is what makes the change. By grace, you're saved through faith. It's not of yourself or effort. It's His call. It's my response to His call. And so Lazarus was about to be awakened from his sleep, and he heard the voice, but that element of faith was supplied by those servants when Jesus said, "Move the stone away. Move the stone away from the door of the sepulcher." And you know all the reasons why they shouldn't, and it wasn't wise to, and they didn't understand why. And yet they obeyed. And they believed. They believed His word. They followed His instructions. They did what He said. And then whenever in the Bible anybody did what He said, when they followed His instructions in obedience, whether it was giving their lives and their hearts to Him, or whether it was something that He had asked of them to do, it's always well to obey what it is that He says. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. And so they obeyed. They rolled the stone away. Jesus called for Lazarus to come forth. At the word of the Lord, Lazarus comes out. But here's just a short little part of the story. I don't know. Let me see if I could find what verse it is. Whereas he came forth, it says, verse 44, the dead man came out. That I guess that implies that the dead man wasn't dead anymore. Because dead men don't walk. Dead men don't come out of anything because they can't, because they're dead. But this man who was dead is alive. This man who was dead now has life. And the dead man came forth. And the dead man who now was alive was never going to be more alive than he was right at that moment. He was not going to be made more alive on the next day or the day after that. He had experienced and received resurrection life in his body that quickened him and that made him alive. And I can think of the place or time, and you can think of the place or time when that took place in your life. when you are dead and you are made alive, and you don't have more life, or you don't have more resurrection life, you're not saved necessarily in one sense more. I received life. I'm made alive by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I now have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for me. I don't have to work at now my life so that I can get myself into heaven. I have received life. I've passed from death unto life. And Lazarus had that experience. So I guess we could say that's the end. The story's over. He's now going to glorify God because he's alive. And when you're alive, you bring glory to God. And that's true. That's absolutely right. But there's still something yet that needs maybe more than one thing that needed to be done. And this is a big deal. And it's a big deal and was for Lazarus. And it's a big deal for me and for you and all of us. You see, it says that the dead man came out. But then it goes on to say that the dead man's hands and feet were wrapped with linen, and a cloth was about his face. In other words, the grave clothes that they wrapped dead bodies in, Lazarus was still wrapped up. Lazarus still had his hands bound. His feet were bound. His face, he had the covering over it. Could you imagine what he must have looked like when he came walking out? Alive. Absolutely 100% alive. No longer dead. But he didn't look right. And remember, the whole idea way back at the beginning of the chapter, what I'm coming to do is to wake him up. But I'm not just going to come to wake him up. I want this to glorify God. Now, I don't know that God was glorified like he wanted to be glorified by just causing the dead man to have life and then to walk around the rest of his life like this, with bound hands and bound feet and a napkin over his face. And that's the way Lazarus was. That's the way we are. Oftentimes, and I think I could say safely, all the time. He picks us up. We talked about it last night. But then he has to go to work on us. And you know, we have, sometimes when we have life in us, we still, even with the life that we have, we're still wrapped up. We still have got some of those grave clothes on. Now, the decomposition isn't happening anymore. Why, thank God that decomposition has been stayed and life has come, and so we don't stink anymore, but the residue remains. I don't know. I've never smelled grave clothes. I don't know what they smell like. If you wrap somebody in a grave clothes and you leave them there for long enough and the body begins to decompose, and I don't imagine it said, or Martha Mary said, he stinks by now. Well, you know, I went down to the bonfire last week with all of you, and or some of you, and we're going to go down there again tonight. And you know what? I came back after last Thursday night, and I took off my shirt, and it stank. Now, I like that smell. It doesn't bother me. So I could wear it almost, you know, that's like a good thing. That's like deodorant. Well, maybe not. But I don't mind that smell, but I had to get that shirt to the laundry because I wasn't at the fire anymore. That was way back there on the beach, and I was way up here and over there in my room, but I still, the smell, the residue. And you got to get rid of the residue. You got to get rid of the stink that still stinks. And it didn't stink like I had to change my position down there by the fire. Because all of a sudden, I went right out. Oh, no, I couldn't see. I couldn't do nothing. It was overwhelming. I had to move away, but it's still the residue. And we sometimes, even after the life, after the death is no longer part of us, because now we're made alive, but there's still something that smells. I was here for the Chinese retreat. I told you this a few days ago. And at the Chinese retreat, I read from John 11. It's what gave me the idea that maybe we could slow down a little bit and go through this together. And I was mentioning this at the Chinese retreat, and I happened to look to my left, and sitting way back there and way back there was the cook for the Chinese retreat. And I remembered when I saw him, I remembered his story. It was just quite fitting because John 11, and oh, there he is, it happened to him. And so I told his story and how he had gotten saved. But then he had heard Sister Grace Schulteis talk about John 11. And she was talking about these grave clothes. And she was talking about how we got to get rid of the grave clothes, everything that doesn't belong, all the stuff that shouldn't be part of us anymore. Ephesians chapter 4, it says that you are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called. With all meekness, with all lowliness. You do that all the time? Or is that still part of the old? And that part of the old that needs to still somehow be taken away and gotten rid of and put off. And Brother Radko, Eric Radko, was sitting back there. And as I saw him, I thought of what he did here at camp. I don't suggest you do this, but he, that night after that message, and he heard the Lord speak to his heart, you got to get rid of the grave clothes. And he wasn't talking about the smoky garments, and wasn't talking about, but he literally took some of his clothing. I hope it was the stuff he didn't like or couldn't fit into anymore, because he took a pile of his clothes or some of his clothing, and he went out to the lake, and he just hurled through him in the lake. Now, if you find a size 32 long, you might find that it might be Brother Eric's. You can give him back to him, but he got rid of him. Now, I'm not, again, I don't suggest we do that. Go throw your clothes in the lake. But spiritually, we need to get rid of these grave clothes. We need to get rid of the things that still smell. And sometimes they smell quite a lot. If you would read in your Bible with me, Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul speaks about our clothing. He speaks about the grave clothes, and then he speaks about the new wardrobe. It's in the third chapter. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3, since then you've been raised with Christ. Since you've been raised from what? Raised from death. Raised from where you are, raised to newness of life. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, because you're dead with Christ. You've received new resurrection life, and the life that you're now living is not the old life. Now you're living the new life. So it says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, and you're going to appear with him in glory. So these things are all not part of you anymore. These are part of the dead, that you are now dead to sin and alive unto Christ. There's a whole flip, a reversal. I thought I was not dead anymore, but alive. Yes, but when you are dead to yourself and alive unto God, the flip side is I'm dead to the old and alive to the new. So Lazarus was raised from the dead to die. Does that make any sense? You and I have been raised from the dead to be buried with Christ. Oh, I mean, I never get a chance to live. I want to live. I don't want to die all the time. I'm dead in my sins, and he's raised me from the dead. But what does he want to do with me? He wants to take me, raised from the dead, and bury me with himself. Bury, die to the world. Die to the old. The stuff I used to be alive to, I'm now dead to. The thing that used to attract my attention no longer attracts my attention. The life that I used to live, I don't live it anymore. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things, what have they done? They've died. They've all passed away. And everything then becomes new. And the life that we live in our bodies, in our flesh, we live to the glory of God, to the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be his fragrance. We want to be his ambassadors. We want to be representatives of the new, life that we have found in Christ. And the more that we can live in Christ and his life be lived out in us, is to the degree to which we glorify him. And if my life is to be a life of ceaseless praise, if my life is to be that which adorns, wears, puts on the gospel of Jesus Christ, then I've got to get rid of the grave clothes. I got to throw them into the lake. I've been buried to be raised. And so he says, you've already put to death these things. And this list that I'm going to read now is, I mean, this is, you all know this already, and this has all been, we're dead to these things. He says, you put to death sexual immorality. Now, you know, you should have to not even say anything about that. But Christians, God's called, chosen people, put to death sexual immorality. The world is sexually immoral. Heterosexual immorality, homosexual immorality. There's all kinds of immorality. And in our minds, we can be immoral sexually. And here it says, put that to death. That's part of the flip. Your mind used to be in the gutter all the time, and your rest of you wasn't far behind. And you used to live the way that you used to live, but you don't live that way anymore. Put to death sexual immorality. Put to death impurity and lust, evil desires and greed. Greed. I just want more. Money, money, money by the pound. If I could only have a bigger, better, bigger barn, bigger bar, bigger house, bigger law, car, bigger, better. And then take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name. But if I don't have that, I have no joy. If I don't have all that, I have no peace. I need the latest and the greatest, and I need the biggest and the best, and I need to keep up with the Joneses and the Morgans and everybody else. Oh, because why? Because I'm greedy. I'm not greedy. I'm just living the American dream. Yeah, it's the American dream, but it's greed. And sometimes the American dream is no more than just the greed of this world, the avarice. And here Paul says, that's idolatry. That's an idol that you've put up instead of Jesus Christ. And you can sing about him and talk about him and do whatever you want, but sometimes the grave clothes are still there. And this stuff shouldn't be around anymore because it stinks. Dear Lord, deliver us. Deliver us from greed. Sometimes I think people of God maybe are just as guilty, if not more so, than anybody else. We kind of look at the bottom line to figure out whether or not we are blessed or not. And we hide behind and misconstrue the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Not necessarily in dollars and cents. Just because you have much of this world's goods doesn't necessarily equate to the favor of God. It could be his blessing. And certainly the blessing of God in our lives can be materially, but more so the unsearchable riches of Christ that he bestows upon us. And it's not whether I'm rich or poor and have a lot or a little, it's where my heart is. That's where your treasures are. Set your affections on things above, not the things of the earth, because you are dead. You've been raised from the dead to die to the old life. Paul goes on. He says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived, but now you have to rid yourself of these also. Now, this is the list that maybe is more the grave clothes. It's kind of sometimes part of us all our lives until He shows us the things of which we are unconscious. We sang about that and talked about that last night. Isaiah was alive. He was a good guy. But when he finally got to a place where he saw himself, he saw how ruined and utterly ruined he was, and how his lips weren't the way they should have been, and they were unclean, and he dwelled among a people that were unclean, and he didn't even know that. But then he says, oh, but my eyes have seen you, and when I saw you, I saw me, and when I saw me, I said, ay, yay, yay. These garments, they're dirty. I thought they were clean, but they're dirty. Did you ever put on a white shirt? I've done this before. You put on a white shirt, and then you go out, and you, oh, that's not white, that's sort of like off-white. It's almost brown. How could I not see that? Because the light wasn't so good. But when you stepped out into the light, I mean, I've done that with a lot of things. I got black pants on, but they were brown. I got navy blue pants on, but they were black. I mean, I don't know, until I get outside, oh, really? I didn't know that was that. And then you have the help of your wife that says, yeah, that doesn't match. I didn't know. What do I know? Well, it doesn't match when you have these garments that are spotted by the flesh. When you have these grave clothes on, but you're alive. That's incongruent. Incongruent with new resurrection life or grave clothes. I mean, it's like night and day. What fellowship hath light with darkness? What congruence is there between Christ and Belial? Why, you got to leave that old, entirely forsake it. And so he says, put off this also. And by the way, in the King James, it says it that way. Take off like it was a garment, a vesture. Put these off. Take these clothes off. Take these garments off. Get rid of all your anger. What's road rage? The next word, by the way, is rage. So maybe if you put anger together with rage, you come up with road rage. Oh, the idiot in front of me. Where are you? Well, maybe you do that too. Maybe, you know, when they single right and they turn left. I mean, please, if you drive like that, go back to school. You throw us all off. And if you're in the left-hand lane, don't go 40, because then you provoke me to wrath. And the wrath of God doesn't work the righteousness of God. So help a brother out. Don't lead me into temptation, but deliver me from evil and go over a lane or two. But that's another story. Anger. But everybody gets angry. You're even supposed to get angry. Jesus got mad. He got angry. He walked into the temple and he kicked them out, threw them out. He was so angry. Yeah, it's a different kind of anger, wasn't it? The zeal for my Father's house has eaten me up, and I am so mad and angry with sin and wickedness and debauchery. I am so mad at the things that the enemy produces. I have a vitriolic hatred for that. That's okay to be angry with. But when we're angry because somebody crossed our path, what did you? Did you hear what he said? Did you hear what she said? She said, oh, I am so offended. I'll never get over it. I'll never forgive them. I'll never. And I've heard people talk like that. I mean, life. I've got life. You've got life, but you've got grave clothes. Oh, don't tell me. Now you're judging me. No, I'm not judging you. The Bible's already done that. And if the Bible's already done that, then I'm not doing it. The Word of God is. And the Word of God is spoken to us so that we might obey it, heed it, hearken to it, give all diligence. Get rid of your anger. Get rid of your rage. Get rid of malice. Slander. What are you doing? This is the way I live every day. This is my life. You're telling me to put off my life. That's exactly right. He's telling you to put off your life. And he's telling you to die to yourself. And he's telling you to take up your cross. And he's telling you to follow him and walk in newness of life. Well, if I can't talk about people anymore, I might as well just shut my mouth. That's a good idea. Then maybe you should just shut your mouth. Or maybe just pray the prayer of the psalmist, Lord, put a watch over my lips. Lord, help me to my speech always with grace, seasoned with salt. I like my grave clothes. They stink enough that they don't stink me up. I like them. I like the smell of smoke. And I think there are some people that just like their grave clothes. They're so accustomed to wearing them. And then the Holy Spirit comes around and he shows us the things in our lives. Not all at once, because again, it'd be hard. But Lord, let the words of my mouth and the musings, the meditations of my heart, let them be acceptable, Lord, in your sight. So help me, Lord, to get rid of anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from my lips. Not only did Paul write to the Ephesians, but here he has to write it to the Colossians. Don't lie to each other. Why not? Because you've taken off your old self-life with its practices, and you've put on the new self. That's why. Why? Because I want to glorify him. And he's not glorified with the old self-life because he's come to bury the old self-life and to give me the new life. And with the new life, a new wardrobe. And so I put off the old, and I have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. There's no Greek or Jew or circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all, and he's in all, and so is God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved. Here's what you put on. So if any of what we've talked about or read, if you found any of those things still part of what's holding your legs together and holding your arms together, and maybe it's the napkin over your face, well, get rid of it, not in the lake, but at the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is flowing to cleanse me of that. And be conscious. Be conscious. Lord, I can change, and this is how I want to change. That's what Isaiah was, as we read it last night in Isaiah 6. I'm conscious that my lips aren't what they ought to be. I never knew that. I thought they were okay, but I now have seen that my lips are not clean. And so, Lord, I'm gonna ask that you deal with my lips. I'm not going to look into the law of liberty and hear you speak to me and tell me about my anger, malice, my rage, my whatever, and then I'm going to forget about what I saw. I'm going to close the book. James says, don't do that. If you see in the law of liberty, if you see in the word of God what it is that he wants to set you free from, well, then take that to yourself. Don't close the book and forget what manner of person you are. If you got up this morning and looked in the mirror, did any of you do that? You should have. Yeah, you looked in the mirror. What did you see? Confusion. You saw what maybe you didn't want to look at. And so you went to work on it. You didn't turn away from the mirror and forget what manner of person. There was a true story. A lady that was in some tribal area, and I don't know if it was Africa, New Guinea, I don't know where it was, but some tribal region. And the witch doctor's wife had never seen a mirror before. They didn't know what a mirror was. So she never really saw what she looked like. And one day the missionary had gone back in there, and the missionary had a mirror, and that was like amazing, a mirror. They didn't know what a mirror was, that you could reflect and see what you look like. And the witch doctor's wife looked at the mirror. She saw in the mirror for the first time. She saw what she looked like. You know what she did? She took the mirror and she threw it down on the ground. She didn't like what she saw, so she broke the mirror. That didn't really help what she saw. She's still the same old. And sometimes we see ourselves and we see the list and we see what we're supposed to be like, and somehow whether we want to break the mirror. But if I see myself, Lord, help me to deal with you and let you deal with me about those things. And then I put on a new wardrobe. And so today, let's forget about yesterday and what, let's today. This is what we're going to put on today. From now on, from 10:35, 36 in the morning, rest of the day, we're going to put on these clothes. We're going to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Can I do that? Can you do that? Should we do that? Well, I don't know. Should we? It, only if you want to glorify him. If you're not interested in living to the praise and the glory of his name, if you don't want a life of ceaseless praise, if you don't want to adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ, then break the mirror and go do whatever, and no compassion, no kindness, no forgiveness. No, I'm not going to bear with anybody. They never forgive them what they did to me. If you want to live that way, God bless you, but he won't. If you want to live that way, good luck, because you'll need it. But if you want to live that way, you can say, Lord, help me. Change me. Work in me. And he closes, the apostle does, and I'll close with this too, that next verse. Above and over all these virtues, just put on love. Because what love does is it binds all these things together in perfect unity. I think the first meeting I was here, somebody, one of the counselors, it was when the counselors were all together before the boys even came, and somebody talked about unity. Unity. Put on that bond of perfection, that love that binds us together. Because if I love, and the unity of love is part of the arsenal of what I've put on, it's not going to be hard to be compassionate. It's not going to be hard to be forgiving. It's not going to be hard to be kind. It's not going to be hard to forgive. And if I put on that unity and that oneness, that pleases him. It might not please you so much, but it pleases him. Only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day. So, Lord Jesus, we pray that this morning that you will help us. Lord, we thank you that the grave clothes can be taken off. They need it to be. Lazarus couldn't really be to the praise and glory of your name bound up like he was. Is filled with life, yes. Resurrection, yes. No longer dead, yes. But still grave clothes. And Lord, they still smelled a little bit. So wherever he went, they would see his life, but they would also smell his clothes. And there would be some incongruence to the life that he lived. But Lord, we know that that is sometimes true of not only Lazarus, but it's true of all of us. We are those workmen, there's that work in progress. Lord, we are those that are constantly learning to put off and put on. We are constantly learning to die to and live unto. And Jesus, we thank you that you are constantly helping us. And so, save us better. Not necessarily do we need more resurrection life, but we need you to work out that salvation. We want to work it out with fear and trembling because it is you who is working in us. And Lord, these things are not easy for us. The anger, the rage, the malice, they're not easy to get rid of. They kind of stick with us longer, perhaps, even after the life comes in. But Lord, we pray that you will help us, that you will show us, and that you will change us so that we may praise you. Oh, Lord, not just with our mouths and with our hands, but, Lord, with our lives. So live out thy life within me. And in all things have your way. Lord, may we be the transparent medium, your glory to display. Help us, we pray. And Lord, if we've read something in this chapter that we see what we need to do, get us down to the lake and help us to toss it. Get us to the foot of the cross and under the blood, the precious blood, and help us to live henceforth, Lord, with that love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts, that unity and that bond of perfection. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a prayer that Havergal's written. Let's sing it. Live out thy life within me. It's in the white book. It's number 43. Number 43 in the white book. Shall we stand as we sing 43? Jesus, live out your life, dear Lord, this day. Dear Lord, in all things have your way. Dear Lord, we make those exchanges today, dear Lord. Hallelujah. Give up the old tattered garment, Lord. You give us a robe of pure white, dear Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. For your glory we do pray. Hallelujah. Sister Wen, will you pray with us, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your message this morning to us, Lord. May you take these words and commit them to our hearts, Lord. Allow us to toss away the old clothes, Lord, the stinkiness, Lord. And God, may we just clothe ourselves with you. And as we heard this morning, help us to love one another and live out lives that are pleasing to you, and to serve you and to serve one another in love. Be with us as we go. Be with us the remainder of this day.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So ping pong, if you are interested. Boom, boom, boom. I have to administer that. I'm the judge.